Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews is one of my favorite books. If you're allowed to have a favorite book, this is one of mine. It talks about the high priestly ministry of Jesus. And it gives us some wonderful things that we need to remember when we celebrate communion. Did you know that we have a basic chronology of what happened when Jesus bowed his head and it says he gave up his spirit voluntarily? Jesus said, "No one takes my life. I give it voluntarily." We do have a chronology, a basic chronology of what happened. Did you know that? 1 Peter 3 says that Jesus went and proclaimed victory over the spirits that were in prison. Some of you are in our Wednesday night prayer meeting. We went through Genesis chapter 6. We found out that these sons of God, whatever these angelic or whatever creatures they were, that sought to pervert the Adamic race in the days of Noah, were confined, and Jesus, the first thing he did was proclaim victory over those spirits. You thought you would ruin the redemption of man. Jesus declared victory in 1 Peter 3. Then he did something else, and that's what I want to focus on. Hebrews tells us that immediately when Jesus died, proclaimed victory, then he went immediately and appeared in the true tabernacle in heaven. Believe it or not, there is a real tabernacle in heaven. And it says that he presented what he had done on the cross to the Father, and the Father honored the Son by making him forever the high priest of mankind. Now, what's a high priest? A high priest is a representative who intercedes for the people. Who are Jesus' people? Anyone who trusts in Jesus has Jesus as their intercessor, their advocate. Another word for this would be, really, defense attorney. That when we come before the throne, Jesus is there advocating, defending his people in every circumstance of life. And it says in Hebrews chapter 5, something very wondrous about the high priest that Jesus is. It says in 5:1, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men and things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Now, you know Jesus offered how many sacrifices for sin? And the Hebrews tells us he offered it once and once for all. This idea that some religious person can raise up a wafer and some wine and transform it is absolute unbiblical, it's ludicrous. Jesus offered himself once and once for all. He is not offered during every worship service. We are not offering Christ again. We are celebrating that Jesus did it once and once for all. God appointed him to do this. The writer continues, why was a high priest chosen? Verse 2. He had to be human so that he could deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself is also beset with what? Now, there's another thing you need to know. High priests were chosen not only because they were intercessors for their fellow men, but they were chosen because they too were weak. I'll tell you something, nothing is better for understanding human condition than someone who has been through that themselves, who has suffered, who has been through life. And you know what this should produce in you when you see suffering and other people in life, and you have suffered, it should produce in you a great deal of understanding and compassion. Have you been sick? That should give you compassion for those who are sick. Have you gone through the difficulties of life? That should give you a compassion and a mercy for people. And that's why the high priest was chosen. Why? Because he himself was beset with, here we go, weakness. Now notice what the writer does with this in verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest. But look, he was chosen by God in verse 5. You are forever a high priest according to Melchizedek. And then look at Jesus. What did we say? They had to be appointed by God and had to be beset by weakness. The writer is saying those same qualifications Jesus met. He was appointed by God, but look at Jesus' weakness. In the days of his flesh, verse 7, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Please note, what was Jesus doing? Where do you think the writer is getting this idea of Jesus' loud crying and tears to the Father? Where do you think that is? Look what it also says in verse 8. And although he was a son, he learned what? You know, that's why you're here. This is why I drive people crazy. You're here because God has put you in a schoolroom to learn how to be obedient to God, to be the kind of person he wants. But you're also here to learn to be compassionate, merciful when people are going through difficulty. And Jesus learned through his weaknesses to be compassionate and to obey. How do you like that? Now, Dave, what is he referring to here in verse 7? Well, if you go back, go to Luke. We're studying Luke. We're not quite there in Sunday school, but Luke chapter 22, and I want you to go where Jesus learned to be merciful and compassionate because Jesus was filled with weakness. Notice what I said, Pastor Dave, Jesus was not weak. I didn't say Jesus sinned, did I? But Jesus was filled with weakness. What do you mean? How about the woman at the well? Where was Jesus when he met the woman at the well? He was sitting down, dog-tired from walking all day. There were no lifts, no... What's the other thing you can call? Huh? Uber! Couldn't call a taxi, you walked! Jesus met the woman at the well, high noon, tired, sat down, no food. They didn't go to Costco and hoard everything at Costco at that time. The disciples had to go into a village to see if they could find some food. And Jesus says to that woman, may I have a drink? Why do you think Jesus asked her for a drink? He was thirsty. He needed a drink. He was weak. I want to show you how weak Jesus became. I didn't say he sinned, but in his physical humanity, he saw the suffering condition of humankind, and he learned how to be a merciful high priest when we are in weakness ourselves. Look what it says. And he came about, he proceeded as his custom to the Mount of Olives. Luke 22, 39, Wanda's communicating to me, what verse, you idiot, are you on? No, no, I can read minds. So you're all in trouble. And he came out and proceeded as his custom to the Mount of Olives. By the way, Jesus, this is the first time Jesus was at the Mount of Olives. He came there for all of his adult life. Every time he did, he knew he would be there for one last time. And the disciples followed him, and when he arrived at the place, this is just before he's betrayed, he prayed to them, pray that you not be entered into temptation. And he withdrew from them a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. Why do you think? It says three times he fell down in weakness, begging God that he not face what he was about to face. What did that teach Jesus? Compassion, mercy, and suffering. To be compassionate, merciful, and understand suffering when you do. Now look what it says. How bad was it? Verse 43. It was so bad that an angel had to come and strengthen him. Well, what would that tell you about Jesus? That in his humanity, he was what? Weak. There is no circumstances you face in which Jesus is going to critically rebuke you. Have you ever gotten that from these? Now, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith here. But what you usually get from fundamental, if this wasn't Jesus here and you were talking about a guy that fell down and said, oh, let this cup pass from me, and angels had to come and strengthen him, you know what you said? What's the matter with you? Aren't you trusting God? Could you just hear these people love to throw scripture verses at people? And you know what you should be doing is sympathizing and empathizing with the people that are going through this. That's what Jesus will do. But that's not what these religious Bible throwers do sometimes. Jesus understands your circumstances. Look what it says. He was in such agony, praying so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground. Now, this doesn't mean that his sweat turned red. It's not what it's saying. You ever seen somebody hemorrhaging? There have been times, I don't want to sound gross, but when people actually are injured, that the arterial bleed will start to come out like this, and they will have massive loss of blood. The sweat was so bad in Jesus that it was just pouring off of him. I asked a physician that we had at the seminary, tell me, what do you think's going on with Jesus in the garden? And he started to describe medically all the cortical steroids, the drop in blood pressure, the tremendous agony. Listen, there's a reason why Jesus went through this. Are you ready to make him a merciful, loving, gentle intercessor for you? Jesus is not going to give you some cold approach of what's the matter with you. He remembers the weakness that he had. And guess what it did? It produced a sympathy and an empathy in how he deals with people. You see, that's why when you go through hard times and difficult things, don't become hardened. Don't become callous. Learn from that to become gentle and loving and compassionate and merciful. Now, Jesus never sinned, but I'll tell you, he saw how man sinned. And it made Jesus understand how weak the flesh is towards sin. And when you come to him, he remembers all of this, and then he remembers our weakness, because it says in 45 and 46 that as he's going through this, guess what his disciples are doing? Too much wine. When he needed help the most, where were they? Are there times in which you've needed help and no one's helped? Jesus understands that. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. That's what we're celebrating this morning. And it says that through the suffering that Jesus experienced, that made him perfected. How do you perfect someone who is perfect? Well, it's talking about he was perfected in his humanity to be merciful, loving, compassionate, and kind. Don't be so hard on people anymore, okay? Jesus is not hard on you. He understands the human condition. You be that way too. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him, what? The source of eternal salvation. There it is. So here is what you should do instinctively because of Jesus being your high priest. When you sin, what do you normally do? You run away from the throne, right? The throne of grace you run away from, don't you? Guess what? Jesus is such a high priest that when you sin, and how often that is, run to the throne of grace. Because Jesus is a loving, merciful, perfected intercessor in our weakness. If you're going to make a mistake in ministry with people, err on the side of mercy and compassion. So many religious leaders err on the side of harsh judgment. Look what it says in verse 2. And he can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. Okay, how many of you say, I'm beset with strength? How many of you say, oh no, Dave, I'm weak, prone to sin, prone to discouragement? Well, Jesus understands. That verse tells us that he went through this whole thing to become our high priest. So when you come to him, you know what Jesus does? Jesus will always be on the side of mercy, compassion, gentleness, because he learned to be that way through what he did. Shall we take and remember the body through the bread that was given for us? And shall we take the cup and remember his suffering?